I love the colorful clothes you wear, and the way the sunlight plays upon her hair. I hear the sound of a gentle moon on the wind that lifts her perfume through the air.
I'm picking up her vibration. She's giving me the excitation.
Well, hello, I'm Solazar, and welcome to Good Vibrations Radio, Tools for Transformation. Now, quantum physics tells us that we are all energy vibrating at different frequencies, and in Good Vibrations Radio, we bring you information that allows you to change the vibrational frequency of your life. We are your source for everyday alchemy, so you can take the lead in your life and turn it into gold. Good Vibrations Radio is made possible through the sponsorship of Magic for Life, which is the promoter-producer of the Rhoda Psychic Fair. Now, the Rhoda Psychic Fair has been a constant in Monterey County for the past 34 years. Our last fair was October 21st and 22nd. Our next event is October 13th and 14th at the Monterey County Fairgrounds. In addition, we have a quarterly preview coming up at the Monterey Elks Lodge on March 30th. And you can visit goodvibrationsradio.com to find out more about that event. So I encourage you to sign up for the email list on rhodapsychicfair.com and goodvibrationsradio.com so you can be notified about the upcoming events and stay informed. Now, last week, Kirilani spoke about the energy of March and what we can expect in this time of change. And if you missed any part of that broadcast, you can visit the podcast page of goodvibrationsradio.com. The link is on the homepage. And go back and listen to the show. You can also download the show and listen to it at your convenience. So before we get into the show, let me tell you a little bit about me. I'm a speaker, a performer, a reader, a healer, a radio host, and an author. I've been a part of the metaphysical community all of my life, and along the way, I completed a series of formal studies. This show shares a variety of topics that touch into the realm of the metaphysical. And so you need to listen regularly to pick up the information that's most important for you. And for those who do listen regularly, I like to start each show with a reading from Day by Day with James Allen. Now, in 1903, James Allen published his essay, As a Man Thinketh, and he chose the title from chapter 23, verse 7 of Proverbs, which says, As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. This book was described by Allen as a book that will help you help yourself. He wanted all of us to know that in your own thought world, you hold the key to every condition, good or bad, that enters into your life. Your present reality is a direct outcome of the past thoughts, intentions, and beliefs. But your future is not predestined by your past. By working patiently and intelligently on your thoughts, intentions, and beliefs, you can remake your life and transform your circumstances. And in Day by Day with James Allen, his essay has been broken into a separate section for each day of the month. And for the 12th day of the month, he tells us every circumstance has two sides. Your difficulty is not contained primarily in the situation which gave rise to it, but in the mental state with which you regard that situation and which you bring to bear upon it. It goes back to the point that everything in the universe has opposites. There can't be inside a room without an outside of the room. You have a right and left side to your body, a front and back. The law of polarity states that everything has an opposite. It's equal and opposite. If it was 3 feet up from the floor to the table, then it's 3 feet down from the table to the floor. And it's the same thing with everything in our life. So every circumstance that we happens in our lives can be viewed in two ways. Certainly, you are allowed and owed and understandably may feel the trauma of a situation that occurs, the upset, the anger, the anguish, the concern, the anxiety. But at the same time, no matter what circumstance has occurred, there's always something on the positive side of that circumstance. We may not see that right away. It sometimes is the type of thing that is so much better for us to understand in the rearview mirror than it is looking through the windshield. So understand that no matter what you may experience, that every circumstance has two sides. And it's not primarily the situation which gave rise to it, but it's the state within which you regard the situation. And sometimes it's helpful for us to try to find that silver lining. At the same time, please, from the bottom of my heart, never turn to somebody who's going through a trauma and say, "Don't worry, it will be better tomorrow." That's the worst thing you could say. But when you go through your situations, just know something positive is around the corner. It just may not be evident in this particular moment of pain. And you've often heard me say on the show that I go through a morning and evening series of forgiveness prayers and gratitude affirmations. And I do the Huna healing practice of Ho'oponopono. I do unconditional love affirmations. And I collect a positive thought from the daily word produced by the Unity School of Christianity. And for Monday, March 12th, the message from the Unity School of Christianity is, "I am a magnificent creation of the divine." It's time for each and every one of us at this point in our lives, at this point in the year, to accept our own brilliant divinity. Our own purpose in life, which so many people struggle over, is nothing more than finding the best way with which to bring out our light. It's not always easy. We're human. It's a journey. We make mistakes. We're not always perfect. But our role and our goal is to find the best way to bring out our light. And as you go through those circumstances with both sides, sometimes that may be what you have to call on, is your own inner light, your own inner grace, your own inner divinity. And that leads us to our segment host for today. Dr. Arne Buss received an undergraduate degree in psychology at Rutgers University, and his PhD from Cornell University. Now, he's been teaching at the graduate and undergraduate level for over 30 years. His passion is facilitating and teaching classes about interpersonal communication. He works with individuals and couples to resolve their interpersonal communication issues. And in the past 7 years, he's given presentations on interpersonal communication skills to a number of organizations in the Monterey area, as well as San Jose and San Francisco. And he joins us with his segment, Speaking of Listening, on the second Monday of each month. And we have a special musical introduction to Dr. Arne Buss and Speaking of Listening.
Listen to the song here in my heart, a melody I start but can't complete. Listen to the sound from deep within. It's only beginning to find relief.
And welcome to Speaking of Listening on Good Vibrations Radio with Solazar, coming to you every second Monday at 5 p.m. As Solazar said, I'm your host for this segment, Arne Buss. And Speaking of Listening is about improving your relationships by listening from your heart. And it ties in so much with Solazar's message of being okay with yourself and being connected to the divine, but also realizing that sometimes when we connect with other people, it can go a little bit south. So for more information about my offerings, currently the The classes are on a bit of hiatus. I hope to start them up in a few months again, and more. Stay tuned for more information. But in the meantime, you can email me at ahbuss, that's A-H-B-U-S-S, at consciousawareheart.com. That's consciousawareheart, all one word. See, listening is not just about hearing the words that the person is saying. It's about really deeply connecting with them in a dialogue or a dance or any kind of deep connection. And with all of our relationships, there is so much opportunity for that. And I'm reminded of a time when, you know, I was sitting in meditation and feeling so at one with the universe and just feeling in a great place, and I came out and immediately the first person I ran into had a big issue with me and they started criticizing, and that can really kind of wreck your peace of mind. So one of the most the most questions that I get is it how do I respond to criticism? And I'm going to talk about that today. And it really connects with this idea of being okay with yourself. That may seem very strange, but remember that the only place that we can be effective in responding to criticism is from a place of responsiveness, from a place of being in what I call our aware heart, rather than reactiveness. The second element is to recognize that all criticism comes from a place of hurt. And so the consequence of that is that if you accept that that's true, then responding to criticism means to start by recognizing that there's pain there, and not to take it personally, not take the blame. To validate the feelings that the other person is expressing, even though they're negative feelings, but not to take it on yourself. So let's talk about criticism. Now, unless you're a hermit who never encounters other people, the chances are that you're going to hear all kinds of criticism. You know, it can be from something as simple as that shirt makes you look stupid, or you need a haircut, or get a job, or one of the most well-known relationship experts, John Gottman, distinguishes criticism from complaint. And that can be a very useful way to look at it. But from my perspective, a complaint is really, I see that as simply a milder way of criticizing. And they both have the damage, the potential of damaging a relationship. A complaint is usually stated as a you statement. You know, you're always leaving the dishes unwashed, or you know, you never pick up after yourself. So the idea here is I'm not going to talk about how to express a complaint that you have, and again, that's another important topic, and that's using what I call an impact statement. But here we're talking about you as the one who is receiving the criticism. You know, some criticisms that you might hear, you know, you just won't listen, or you did this to me. Why are you so selfish? Why are you always so unfair? You never pay attention to me. I recently saw a meme on Facebook that said, my wife said, you're not listening to me. And I thought, well, that's a pretty weird way to start a conversation, where obviously the person hadn't been listening. So the thing is that we can't always be mindful 100% of the time, 24/7, you know, unless you're a fully enlightened being, then if you're a normal human being, then you kind of go through your day, and sometimes you're present, and sometimes you're not. So it can happen. When you hear criticism, you can either you can react in one of two ways, but only respond in one. One way of reacting is to absorb the criticism. You know, take it on, take it personally. You're right. I'm a terrible listener. This is coming from a place of being a child or a victim, and interestingly, it can also be used in a very manipulative way. See, when you kind of come like this, like you're, it's almost like you're trying to manipulate the other person to stop the attack by feeling sorry for you. And that can sometimes work, but is it good for the relationship? Does it lead to a deeper heart-centered connection? I don't believe it does. The other way of reacting is by counterattacking. And we seem to see a lot of this these days in the political arena. But again, I'm not so much talking about politics, although I must say that regardless of your political beliefs, and I have certain perspectives, which I'm not going to share here because that's not what this show's about. But what I do see is I see a lot of attacking, and I see a lot of personal attacking. It's one thing to disagree about ideas. It's another thing to personally attack, and it's the personal attacks that are harmful, and they don't have to be taken personally. So a counterattack, you know, is coming from being a parent or a judge. If you think I'm a bad one, you know, look in the mirror and you'll see someone who's terrible. It's a sign of defensiveness. Understand that if you're in a place of counterattacking like this, then you're also responding from a place of hurt. And again, the counterattack, especially if it's vicious enough, can stop the attack. But is it good for the relationship? Does it really build a relationship? I've seen people destroy friendships because they could not respond from their heart to criticism. The aware heart is all about understanding that you are okay and the other person is okay. Sounds easy? It's actually simple, but simple is not the same as easy. And especially if you hear stinging criticism, it can be a big challenge, especially from the people who are closest to you. Because the people who are closest to us are the ones who have their fingers on all of our buttons. Recognize that this is really just your wounded child getting triggered. And the antidote is, as I said, to be in your aware heart. And what I'm talking about in this program are ways of responding when you can be there. There are so many resources for getting into that place, many of which are right here on Good Vibrations Radio. And really take deeply in this idea that all criticism comes from a place of hurt. All criticism comes from a place of hurt. And this is expressed in so many different ways by so many different spiritual paths. A Course in Miracles talks about how all attack is actually a call for help. In 12-step, you hear the term Q-tip, which stands for quit taking it personally. In the agreements, there's the second agreement is don't take anything personally, and on and on. And if you accept that, then that means that the criticism, no matter how much it may sting, is not about you. It's about the other person. It's about the pain that they're in. Now, if you react, then you're coming from a place of pain as well. And you have two people who are in pain. And when you have two people who are in pain, then all you hear is just they're howling. So don't take the blame. Track their pain. Validate their feelings without making yourself a target. Now, if there's a legitimate complaint, you can validate that without making yourself wrong. Remember that you have a right to make mistakes. And acknowledge those. And understand that you do not have an intent to hurt them. If they're complaining that, oh, you meant to do this, well, they don't know. And if you ever hear yourself talking that way about somebody, understand, you don't know what goes on inside them. You don't know what kinds of challenges they're dealing with. And as the other person feels heard and understood, there's a natural lowering of the energy. And you're maybe thinking, all this is fine and good, but, you know, how do I do it? Well, again, you probably get tired of hearing me say to stay in your aware heart. Don't take it personally. Don't react in kind. So that's a lot of don'ts. Here are some do's. The first thing is to match the energy of the speaker. Remember that, you know, everything is vibrations, everything is energy. And if the other person is coming with a high amount of energy, if you come with a low amount of energy, then the frequencies don't resonate. See, so many people who talk about responding to criticism say, well, stay calm. And that's really good advice, to stay calm. Internally, I take that to be staying in your aware heart, that is keeping yourself okay. However, if you respond calmly, it will tend to undershoot the speaker's energy and not match them. So the ideal amount of energy that you respond with, especially when what's coming at you is high, is just around that of the speaker, maybe slightly below. You don't want to go above them because then that tends to kind of escalate. But you want to be matched. You don't want the other person to be saying, you know, oh, you know, you did this to me. And say, oh, so you're feeling terrible about what happened. No, that doesn't match. And if you've ever been in a situation where you were upset and the other person was calm, you know, think of how you, what you were feeling at that point in time. Usually, the sense is that the other person isn't really getting you when the energy doesn't match. And when I say energy, I don't mean volume. I don't mean you have to match their volume necessarily, but the intensity. If you're hearing high intensity or anger, go directly to their want. And remember that in tracking, there are four W's. What did they say? Why did they say it? What do they feel? And after the lookup, what do they want? And in normal tracking at kind of lower temperatures, you want to make sure that you take that step by step. In other words, you don't want to go to the want too quickly. However, if there's a high amount of energy or criticism coming at you, you want to go right to the want. Because with that high energy, there usually, in a way, they're kind of screaming out what they want at you. And it's if you can kind of get into your aware heart, not take it personally, and really hear what their message is, then they're telling you what you want, what they want. And if you feed that back to them, again, with an energy that can reach them and connect with them, then it's like it is really remarkable. So you just won't listen. You might say something, so you want to be heard and you don't feel it's happened yet. Or you might, so there's something you want to be heard and you don't feel that you've been heard yet. Again, as I've spoken in other segments, be careful not to use as few of the same words that they state as possible, because the more words that they use that you feed back to them, the more it sounds like parroting or using something on me. So instead of saying, if they say, you just won't listen, say, I hear you say I won't listen. Well, that sends up like a red flag of, okay, I'm using something on you. I'm using one of my communication techniques on you. And then even though there's a certain technique to effective listening that I advocate, what I don't advocate is using it as a technique, because nobody likes a technique to be used on them. What I am suggesting instead is that use this just as another way of communicating, another language of being with that other person. Here's another example. You did this to me. So you want to make sure that this will never happen again. You're so selfish. So you want to have your needs taken into consideration, and you don't feel that's happened yet. Well, no. Maybe you could express what you'd like to have taken into account. You're so unfair. So there's something that doesn't feel right to you. You want things to be more equitable. You never think of me. So you want to be taken into account, and you feel it hasn't happened yet. You see, it's always possible to get what the other person is saying and feed that back to them in your own words. And your own words is kind of the key here. And see, what you're doing is you're decoding the message of the other person. You probably heard that communication is mostly nonverbal, and that the words themselves only contain a fraction of what the message is. And I found that to be the case. It's not that the words aren't important. It's just that the words don't contain the entire message. So, if somebody's saying to you, you won't listen, the message is only partly that they're expressing that you won't listen. There's a connection that they're seeking that they're not feeling and that they want. Because if they didn't want it, it wouldn't be coming up like this. In other words, kind of hit the kernel of every criticism is an opportunity to enhance the relationship, to find out what's happening, and to address it. And the beauty of these communication skills is that they provide a mechanism for doing that. Now, if you're like some people who hear me talk like this, you probably are thinking, well, I don't think this would ever work, you know. What about boundaries? You know, if somebody says something to me that's not acceptable, then I need to immediately say, you know, it's not okay to talk to me that way, and I won't be spoken to. And if you keep that up, then I'm leaving. And, you know, sometimes it gets to the point where something like that is necessary. I'm not suggesting that you subject yourself to ongoing abuse. Well, certainly not. I mean, I'm not talking physical abuse. So like emotional abuse is when there's a barrage of criticism that and you get into this dynamic where you're always just kind of walking on eggshells and afraid of being criticized. One of the beauties of these communication skills is that they do provide an opportunity for either moving a relationship beyond relatively mild versions of this, because in every relationship there are going to be criticisms, and you know, because people aren't perfect. Abusive relationships are another matter. Abusive relationships, ideally, you don't want to be in, and you don't want to be in a relationship with someone who is constantly putting you down and criticizing. Again, I'm not saying. That you should stay in such a relationship. And most of the people who I do work with, though, are in a relationship that's mostly okay, but there are parts that are just uncomfortable, and there are unresolved issues, and there are some arguments that keep coming up. And, you know, Gottman says that, in a way, that's kind of normal. He said, you know, his studies have shown that, you know, even healthy couples often fight a lot, and even healthy couples have conflicts that they can never resolve. So, I mean, again, if you're in a verbally abusive relationships, then you know, get out. But here's the thing. Is that, you know, boundaries are important. The thing is that boundaries are, in my experience, are only effective when the other person is open to hearing. And if the other person is in the throes of a criticism, that they're not in their aware heart. They're not open to hearing a boundary. And so usually walking away is kind of the only option. So what I'm advocating here is to first track and validate the anger and the criticism first. But don't stop there. After you can track the person down to their want, as I said, when you do this effectively, the energy comes down. It's hard to stay angry when the other person is really getting you. And if you're telling the other person what they truly want based upon what it is they're expressing through their criticism, it is almost impossible for somebody to keep their energy high like that. I've seen it time and time again. And once things are calmed down, then is a place to state your limit. It's what I call the 1-2. So the one is to track and validate. And remember that when you're tracking, you only use the you pronoun, not I or we or us. And when I say use you, I don't mean turn the tracking statement into a you statement. See, a tracking statement validates, a you statement blames. So a tracking statement is so you want to be assured that it will never happen again. Again, it uses the pronoun you, doesn't use the pronoun I, doesn't take the blame, and in a way it kind of takes the issue and it kind of puts it outside the two individuals. And remember that validating is not agreeing. It's acknowledging the other person's thoughts and feelings. Everybody has a right to their feelings, and everybody has a right to their thoughts. And their thoughts, you know, their feelings are neither right nor wrong. They just are. You know, if the person's angry, they're angry. I mean, it's not, you know, it's not that you shouldn't be angry about that, or you should feel this, or you should feel that. You know, if you feel something, you feel something. Now, thoughts, you know, thoughts can be right or wrong. Opinions are, you know, are opinions, and there can be disagreement about that. But when it comes to feelings, then there's only one thing to do with feelings, and that's to validate them. And at the very least, you can validate the desire, their desire for what it is they're requesting. You can validate their disappointment about something that they're not getting. And use gentle challenges, as I've spoken about in other segments, to maybe point out an incongruity without beating them over the head. In other words, it's often the case that you're being blamed for something, for choices that the other person is making. And if they're coming at you with that, it may be that they simply don't, they don't quite see that. Gentle challenges are, the operative word being gentle, not challenge. When I was first learning about gentle challenges, I took as the operative word challenge, and so I couldn't understand why things would go south so much. Gentle is the key word. And again, I've talked about this in other segments, and we'll talk about it more in future ones. But the one is to track and validate. And you keep doing that until you get what's called a lookup. And a lookup is when the other person, you know, it's an almost noticeable release of energy. And it's hard to describe over the radio, but once you witness it, you know exactly what it is, and that's the time where, again, if you're doing low intensity tracking, then that's when you would move into the want. But for high intensity, like responding to anger and criticism, that's the time to state your limit. So you validate them, you've gotten the look up, and at this point they feel so understood that they have nothing more to say about it. And that's when you state your bottom line. Something like, you know, I'm always open, you know, to hear suggestions. What is not okay with me is being spoken to in a voice that's louder than I would like to hear. Again, you want to make it impersonal, objective, and yet clear about what it is that you're asking. And when you're stating a limit, you flip the pronouns. Remember, in tracking, you only use you. When you're stating a limit, you use I, because stating a limit is about you. It is about you. But you're stating your limit about what is acceptable and not. And interestingly, what I've found is that a gentle and firm voice is far more acceptable, far more effective than a loud and especially loud and angry voice. And the other hint is to drop your voice at the end. And that communicates a clarity of purpose and a resolve. And it's a little counterintuitive, because our natural instinct is to respond, you know, with, you know, to state our limit with such anger. You know, that's not okay with me, and you can't do this to me. The thing is that stating it that way is more like a counterattack, and it tends to make the other person feel defensive. When you're stating your limit, whenever you use the word you, the other person is likely to become more defensive. So again, the 1-2. Today I've been talking about responding to criticism, keeping in mind that the only place of responsiveness is from your aware heart, and to not react. And to remember that even if you do react, that there's always going to be a next time, another chance. Because if you do react, the chances are that whatever was coming up is not going to get resolved. And if it's not resolved in that relationship, it means it's going to come up again. Remember that all criticism comes from a place of hurt. Understand that from the other person. Understand that about yourself. If you find yourself criticizing another person, not the same as disagreeing with their ideas, but criticizing the person, look inside, find the pain in yourself. That's something called self-tracking. And remember the 1-2. Remember to validate and track first, and then state your limit. Because doing it that way will maximize the opportunity, will maximize the chance of your limit really being heard. That does it for this episode of Speaking of Listening on Good Vibrations Radio. I've been your host, Arnie Buss, and I so appreciate you joining me today. You can listen to Speaking of Listening every second Monday at 5 o'clock right here on Good Vibrations Radio. To learn more about the workshops and my work with couples and individuals, you can email me at ahbuss@consciousawareheart.com. Like me on Facebook at AwareHeart and follow me on Twitter at Effect5Comm. That's Effect, the number 5, C-O-M-M. And also my website at www.consciousawareheart.com. And until next time, remember, listen with your heart.
Listen to the song here in my heart, a melody I start but can't complete. Listen to the sound from deep within, it's only beginning to find relief.
We want to thank Dr. Arnie Buss for all that he shared, speaking of listening. When we think about it, really, everything we do in life is about interpersonal communication. It's about how we represent with ourselves, how we connect with others, how we bond with others in a much deeper way. And the important thing about communication is to listen. Listen is the most critical skill. And so when Dr. Buss shares that with us, we should also take that to heart. It's the words we say are always very important, but the words we say are secondary to listening to what the other person is sharing, because communication is not about each of us throwing words at each other. It's about each of us creating connection through communication. Very important. And in this very polarized time, it's very difficult sometimes to do that, as Dr. Buss shared, and we get into these political sides and these absolutes where things can only ever be one way. And if you're not that way, then there's something wrong with you. So sometimes communication is about hearing the other person and also saying nothing back. So when he talks about tracking, where you're listening and you're really trying to understand what the person is saying, what they're feeling, it's not even really about you needing to say anything back. And sometimes on these polarized conversations, it's about us hearing them. Often we may have to go away and come back to have that conversation another day, because in the moment, there's been so many issues where in the moment, there's just a closed door to hearing anything other than their side. And that's where we are. It's also why I want to share some of the practices that I do. I think that they're important. I'd like to share the anonymous poem from Empower Astrology, which I think is important for all of us to recognize. No matter what happens with the divisiveness in the politics or in the country or even in the world, it's important that each and every one of us do our best to not create or add to that divisiveness. That doesn't mean if you accidentally do, you need to go ahead and flagellate yourself or put yourself in the stocks for everybody to see. But what it does mean is that it's important that we try to create a connection, a communication, or an event that doesn't add to that issue. So the poem from Empower Astrology says, "In the midst of hate, I found there was within me an invincible love. In the midst of tears, I found there was within me an invincible smile. In the midst of chaos, I found there was within me an invincible calm. I realized through it all that in the midst of winter, I found there was within me an invincible summer." No matter how hard the world pushes against you, within you, there's something stronger, something better, pushing right back. And as Dr. Buss shares in Speaking of Listening, where you communicate from the heart, whatever you give, do so from your heart. Recognize that our daily practice is a practice of gratitude. Thank you for everything. I have no complaints whatsoever. We can choose to express from love in all situations. I live and practice loving kindness in all situations. Even as Dr. Buss said, sometimes when we're pushing back from our own hurt and wound. So we can accept ourselves fully by I accept and love myself unconditionally. And open fully to the energy of love by saying I surrender all to love. So the daily practice for me is to say thank you for everything. I have no complaints whatsoever. I live and practice loving kindness in all situations. I accept and love myself unconditionally. I surrender all to love. And then I close with the Huna healing of Ho'oponopono. I love you. I'm sorry. Please forgive me. Thank you. I love you. I'm sorry. Please forgive me. Thank you. In all things, in all ways, you are not the victim. You have a choice. So thank you for listening to Good Vibrations Radio this week. There's going to be a lot of shifts. We had Jupiter going retrograde last week. We're going to have Mercury going retrograde next week. We're in a period of time of going within and pushing ourselves from within, from our deepest areas, those areas that we don't like to bring to the surface. But it's time for us to heal, push ourselves forward, and create a new world. And remember, you're not the victim. You have a choice. Surrender yourself to love. Love and accept yourself unconditionally. Practice loving kindness in all situations. And thank you for everything. I have no complaints whatsoever. Thank you for listening to Good Vibrations Radio. We'll be back next Monday with Joyce Day Muse and the Celestial Phenomenon in her Your Lucky Star segment. If you have any questions or missed any elements, send an email to solazar@gmail.com. That's solazar@gmail.com. Many blessings. We'll talk again next Monday. Thank you for listening. Namaste.